Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Do you ever have to send money internationally? If you do, you know just how expensive and time-consuming it can be, as well as how steep the exchange rate from your bank or provider sometimes is. Sometimes these exchange rates don't even show until after the transfer has been made. Here's why I'll use TransferWise for my next international money transfer. Unlike other providers, TransferWise is a completely transparent way to send money internationally. You know exactly what you'll pay upfront, and you get the real exchange rate with no markup. The exchange rate with TransferWise is incredibly good, so your money goes much, much further. Setting up a payment is simple and fast, and you only pay one small upfront fee. TransferWise was founded by the first guy to ever work for Skype together with his friend. As Skype was the new better way to make international calls, TransferWise is the new better way to send money internationally. Founded by two friends and Estonians who were tired of feeling ripped off whenever they sent money back home, they came up with a quicker, cheaper, and easier way to transfer money between countries. Realizing that plenty of other people were also feeling ripped off on international transfers, they turned their idea into a company. They created a smart new system that gets rid of all the expensive traditional charges that you normally pay. Today, TransferWise lets millions of people and businesses all over the world send money internationally. See how much you could save at TransferWise.com. You can also download the app for Android or iOS. Once again, that's TransferWise.com. Transfer as in, I need to transfer money to another country. Wise as in, I'm going to do that in a wise way. TransferWise.com. Hi, and welcome to another episode of From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl. This week, I'm so excited to introduce a very, very special guest. I have Isabella Löwengrip here on the show. Isabella is a blogger, a serial entrepreneur. She started over a dozen companies, four of which are thriving today. She's a published author, a mom of two, and she has for the past 10 years run the most popular blog in all of Scandinavia, reaching more than 1.3 million unique readers per week. Wow, what a resume. Welcome to the show, Isabella.
Thank you.
How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good. I've been listening to your podcast for the last week, so I'm very happy to be here. Yeah.
Are you a little nervous to be here too?
Yeah, I am.
Are you overcoming a fear right now?
I am, but I love to push myself and to be out my comfort zone, so... yes, this is a good challenge.
Because you don't do a ton of your work in English, right?
No, the blog is translated to English, and also the Instagram is in English, but just the daily is not so much in English. The companies are right now expanding to other countries, so I have to do more in English. So this is a great opportunity.
It's an amazing opportunity. I'm so excited to have you on the show, because I'm here in Sweden for 5 weeks, and I'm going to invite some Swedish people on the podcast. And I was really thinking, okay, who do I really feel inspired by, and who can also my listeners learn from and grow with? And you were at the top of my list.
Thank you.
I've been reading your blog for a really long time. And wow. I kind of float in and out of blog worlds when I have time and I have space. I read. And recently with breastfeeding, I've had some, with the baby, when she's sleeping, I have a little bit of time to just sit. And then I've been reading your blog. So
I'm happy to hear that.
How is life right now?
Life is very hectic. It's very intense. But it has been intense for the last 12 years.
Yes. I find people ask that, and it's always like, if you're an entrepreneur, when do you say, "Oh, everything is calm and relaxed"?
But I really like when it's when I have a lot of things to do. I've been having my companies for a couple of years now, but I noticed that something has happened right now. We're expanding more globally, which is very fun, and it's a very big goal for me. But in the same time, this year has been very, very tough, because I got divorced 2 months ago. And like you said in the beginning, we have two kids together, 3.5 years and two, a boy and a girl. So everything in the companies is happening at the same time as the divorce, and now I have my big house for myself, and it's a new life that I have to get used to. But as you often talks about, I'm very like calm, and I rely on that everything is gonna go well. Maybe not now, but soon.
Eventually, that's a good mindset to have. Yeah. I would love to dive a little bit deeper into that also. But for the listeners that maybe don't know you so well, if we backtrack a little bit. So you run the biggest blog in Scandinavia.
Yes.
1.3 million readers every week. That's a big
responsibility.
That's a big platform. How did you get started?
I started when I was 14. I didn't have any... like a business idea then. It was like having a diary online, and I was creating, or maybe not a diary, more than a like an online book, and I was creating my own character, and the character's name was Blondin Bella,
which means the blonde Bella.
Yes. And I was pretending to be that character for a couple of years, and the people were start to follow that girl because she was living a kind of extreme life for being a 14-year-old.
And how did you come up with that? Where did the idea come from?
I had a quite tough time at in my life then. I was bullied in school. I was moving out, so I lived by myself as a 14-year-old.
Wow.
Because that was a better alternative than staying at home. So I was living by myself. I was bullied. Didn't have any friends, so creating that character Blondin Bella, who had everything, that was a kind of escaping,
like an escape from. Yeah. Wow. And what was going on at home that you wanted to leave?
They were divorced, and it's a lot of things, but they weren't. It was tough just with my dad, and
you made that decision on your own.
Yes, and we don't have any contact today. So, but I have.
Do you remember that being 14 years old and realizing, because that's really young. Mm. I mean, I have five sisters. The youngest one is almost 16, and I cannot really imagine her one day saying, "Okay, I'm going to move out," and she's 16, and this is 2 years younger. Do you remember being 14, realizing that I think it's best for me if I didn't live here anymore?
I remember that feeling, and I've always had like an old soul, and like taking care of myself. So I was, I went to the grocery store, I was buying food, and I tried to live. And I went to school in the mornings, wake up, had an alarm on my watch, and just continue my life. But I think one of my strength is that I'm. I don't think too much when the life is tough. I'm just focused straight ahead, and I think I'm quite rational as a person. So at that point, it was more like, okay, I have to go into school, I have to make some food, I have to just pay the bills, continue my life. But when I was 20, I remember that at that time, I became very angry and was thinking about my. Like the time when I was growing up.
Your past.
Yeah.
So it came back then.
It came back. So it's a life lesson. Everything comes back. Hmm. So you have to deal with
and stuff. And did you then when you were 20?
Yeah, I did. So I was very angry at that time. So I started to I want to solve problems. So I went to I did a KBT.
You went to a therapist.
Yeah. So I was talking with her, and then I talked to my dad, and then I
you cut him out.
Yeah, I did.
And was that a big relief?
Yeah, it was. It's so easy when you're a family just to stay in that relations, mm-hmm. because it's blood and you have to do it. But when I was 20, I was, you know, I was thinking about the years before and realized that this kind of relationship with him is going to continue, and I'm going to be affected by that. So yeah, that was a very hard decision, but it was a good decision, and it still is.
And you have no contact
today? No, I haven't. So, but if I look back, of course, it's quite tough. But when I think about it, I don't get sad. It's more, it sounds so strange, but I'm quite not happy. But I'm the past is why I have reached very far for being 26 today, and it is because of everything that I've been through. So maybe it's kind of extreme to say that, but
yeah, but I fully agree with that, and it's really hard to it's hard to stand up and really say that proudly. Yeah. Like I'm almost grateful for the really shitty things that happened, because it also for people that listening, that maybe they're going through horrible things, it's really hard in the moment to feel okay. Yeah. One day I'm going to look back and I'm going to be grateful, especially if it's, you know, really challenging family situations or death or divorce or whatever you have going on.
Yeah.
That's something I come back to as well when I have it. In the middle of a challenge that, okay, it sucks right now. Like this is absolute fucking shit. But I know there's going to be a time where I can look back and say, okay, it brought something.
Yeah.
You know, so remembering that in the toughest moments, it's the most valuable thing. Mm. Can you feel that now as well? I mean, going through a divorce is also really, you're in it now. Can you?
Yes, I'm in the tornado.
Are you in the eye of the tornado where it's quiet?
I am. The things that I've been through is helping me right now, and I know everything is gonna be easier for every day, every week, every year. So I'm just, you know, trying to be calm, you know, and try to enjoy them. Because divorce is tough, but I did it for a reason. So I have to maybe not enjoy, but
appreciate the choice that you made. Yeah.
Appreciate, and also because I appreciate for myself for being a role model for my kids. So if you live in a relationship that doesn't make you happy, or
if it brings you down
you down, it's better to leave.
Yes. Well, that's not an easy decision to make.
No, and especially when you have so many followers that have thoughts.
Yes.
And writes about what you're doing and your decisions. Being like an successful mom that leaves your family, or not leaves your family, but breaks up the family. People get very upset and angry, and they are saying that everything is my fault because of the companies. And
do you read, how many comments do you get in a day on the blog? Do you know?
Together for three posts, it's maybe 300.
Mm. Do you read them all?
Yes, I do. It's important for me to see the thoughts. And
when there's judgment there, do you?
Yes, I see it.
Yes, you see it.
but still, it's maybe it's like 90% positive comments, mm-hmm. and 10 bad. So I try to stay. I try to have the focus on the good ones.
On the positive.
Yeah.
I have that too with Instagram, which I feel sometimes can be even more vicious sometimes, but it's not until I became a mom that I realized how judgmental parents can be. I thought as we get older and we become adults and we grow up, like, okay, we can have, you know, be a little more objective and kind to each other or understanding. No, I've never had so much trouble in the online world since becoming a mom.
Yeah, and I remember when our first son were when we had him, and second day we were going back from the hospital, going home. And it was in November, so it was quite cold. And I forgot to bring
a hat
to him. So he was lying in the car, like the baby...
The car seat.
Yeah. So I took a picture and posted it on my blog, and yeah, he didn't have the hat on it. So I got 3,000 comments, and also like the Swedish newspaper were writing about that. Is she gonna to have a child? Can she be a mom? Because she forgot the hat on the second day in November.
Oh my God!
So they were very judgmental on me.
Jesus Christ! And you just gave birth.
Yeah. And on the third day, it's the baby blues day, or what they call them, when you kind of get depressed. So,
the thing is, it's just a picture, so they don't know. Was he out in the snow without a hat for a day? No,
and it was not. And it was only like for 1 minute going from the hospital to the car. So, but yes, but still there. I'm quite good at seeing the 90% positive comments and not focus on the 10.
That's good. I have an amazing teacher and a friend of mine named Jen Pasteloff. Do you know who she is?
No.
I'm going to send you some of her stuff. She's amazing. She has this saying or a class that she teaches about the one in the 100, which means if you have 100 people telling you you're amazing and I love you and you're the best in the whole world, and then there's one person saying you suck, you're going to spend the whole day focusing on that one person. Like, what did I do wrong? How could I change? Which is insane.
Yeah.
So if you seem to have that very good mentality.
I know that if I'm today, I have a lot of companies, and I think we're almost 40 employees, and I don't have the energy or the time to focus on that one person or 1%, because if I'm do that, it's impossible for me to do my work and to increase with all the companies. So. I have to stay positive and focus.
Hmm. It drains your energy if you were to focus on
that.
It does.
Yeah. It does.
So if we rewind, so when you started the blog, it became this, an escape kind of, creating this persona. And then when did it start really growing? How did you go from there, from being 14 to this?
It was 2 years later, and I was 16, and there was a Swedish media, and they wrote that the blog was worth quite much money. So other media was writing about the young girl who was earning a lot of money, but I didn't at that point. But it was just like a value of the blog, and from that article, people were finding the blog, and then it started to get I think it was that time that it became the biggest one in Sweden.
So only 16, you had the biggest blog in Sweden.
Yeah, and then I started the company because of the earnings that I wanted to earn.
You didn't have them yet. You were manifesting it.
No, but I remember how I started like the company to have like a account for future income, and then I rented an office. So I remember that day when I was sitting. I have been to IKEA before, and I'm doing
putting all the stuff together.
Yeah, and I was sitting at my desk and didn't have anything to do. But I was like,
but you had an office.
Yeah, I had an office and a company without any earnings. So I was just okay. So this day, everything is gonna start, and from that point, it did.
So you really were able to dream it up and to see it in your mind.
Yeah, fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, and I was sitting there. I was escaping from school, and I was taking up my phone and I was calling a lot of companies and asked if they want to do an advertisement on my blog. And I think like the 51st call, they were like, "Who are you? What is a blog?
What is a blog?"
But I didn't. I didn't give up. And unfortunately, after like 6 months, I founded a sales company. So they got a few percent in the company, and they were selling advertising on my blog
for you.
For you.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
Wow. And this was early. I mean, this is 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And since then, okay, so you've started over a dozen companies.
Yeah.
And right now you have 4 thriving companies. So one is Lovengrip Care and Color, which is
a beauty brand.
A beauty brand. What's special about it?
We sell in all the pharmacies in Sweden and also in the Nordics now. But we have been starting our business in Switzerland, in other countries. And after the summer, we were launching in Saudi, which is very fun. Mm. So yes, so that's a beauty brand for us who are have sensitive skin or scalp, but still wants very like good products that works. So I'm very proud of that. So the beauty brand is like the biggest brand, and then I have my own investment company, Löwengrip Invest.
And how did that idea come about? I think that's the most interesting thing, because that means it's not just about you as an entrepreneur, but you're actually looking for. Mm-hmm. Other entrepreneurs and companies to invest in.
So during my 10 years as having my blog and being an entrepreneur, all the the profits from the blog and the companies have I put into Löwengrip Invest. So from that company, I'm looking for young entrepreneurs with great ideas, but because I know my time is limited, so I want to have more companies, and because it's so fun to start, to build, to grow, to sell, but it's impossible with my time, especially now when I have two kids. So to solve that problem, I invest in other entrepreneurs.
So they can do the work for you. That's genius.
Or not do the work for me, but I can help them.
Help them rise and grow.
And that's the fun part. Hmm. So yeah, I have going into a few companies right now and still searching for more. And I use my platform to make their companies grow, so we can switch like stocks in the company, so they can have market, so they can be seen at my Instagram and Facebook and blog. So it's quite a new way to invest.
But very smart.
Yeah. So it's not only money. It's also the social media
and the influence around it. Yeah. That's very, very smart. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, it's been so, I try to imagine you 14 or 16 and having this growth. You've lived this life in the public eye now for almost your entire life, or half of your life. How do you think that has shaped you? Because it's something that I know, and I have much less of that than you, but personally, the idea of being a public person has been quite challenging for me, at least. I like to stay very private. Also, my husband is he's a very awkward person. He likes to say this himself. He's like, if you walk up to him in the street, like, hi, oh my God, I follow you on Instagram. He just stands there. He's like, oh, okay. Like, it's really, he's very awkward around that stuff. So for us, it's been, most of it is very fun, but it's a little bit challenging, especially with the baby, when people come up and they want to take photos or touch her or grab her and things like that. And I know you have that at a much larger scale here in Sweden.
Yeah, but it hasn't affected me so much. I think I've been seeing this as a job from the beginning. So I've entered my role as a public figure in the morning, and when I come home or in the weekends, it's easy for me to take off the high heels, to take away the makeup, and just being Isabella with my.
So are you still that character a little bit that you built when you were 14?
Maybe no, not that character, but I think when when you are an entrepreneur, it's hard to see when you're working or when you're not working. So for me, maybe with clothes and with makeup and with styling, that's a way for me to know when I am that kind of public figure, when I'm working.
When you're on.
Yes, and when I'm off. Hmm. It's like to trick the brain. Hmm. But being public, I think I handle it quite well. Still the feet on the ground. But of course, it's another type of life than grew up. It's another another standard with the money part.
Definitely.
So it's more that kind of thing to. I think it's the money part. It's more big for me than the public or not public part.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
Magazines are great resources to keep us informed on news and social issues, and they give us moments of inspiration and comic relief just when we need them. With a brand new app called Texture, you can access all of your favorite magazines in one place on your tablet or on your phone. The Texture app has gone beyond delivering just the magazine itself. Texture makes it easy to find and enjoy the articles you want to read, with daily recommendations, exclusive interactive features, videos, and much more. The Texture app is entirely digital, so it's an environmentally friendly way to consume the best magazines and articles. Texture makes magazines easy, and there are so many great ones included. There's Yoga Journal, Women's Health, Time Magazine, and much, much more. Texture is searchable, so you can mark what you like, check out back issues, view bonus video content, and even experience curated articles and magazines just for you or whoever you are gifting Texture to this year. Why subscribe to just a couple of magazines when you can have all of your favorites on your smartphone or on your tablet all the time for way less? Plus, Texture was selected as one of Apple's top 2016 iPad apps. Normally, Texture is $9.99 a month, and you get over 200 magazines. Today, Texture is offering all From the Heart listeners a 14-day free trial. Download the Texture app and start your free trial right now. Go to texture.com/yogagirl. That's 14 days to try Texture for free when you go to texture.com/yogagirl. One more time, go to texture.com/yogagirl today. What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at hero.co. You made the conscious decision to not show your children's faces on your blog or online. And where did that come from?
From two ways. One is a very terrible thought, and it's because of the kidnapping risk. And the other one is that I want them to be able to choose by themselves when they are older. So it's just from the thinking of the safety and also
keeping more of it private also for you.
Yeah. And it's a good, and I'm very like happy that I did that.
Do they know? You think that their mom is this very, public
person? No, they don't understand. Yet. No. And yes, people are coming to us at the grocery store and they want to take photos. But he's too young.
And I'm thinking about transitioning here, because you realized very early that you wanted to be an entrepreneur, that this was it for you. And I think that's something that in this generation of, blogging and social media, not everybody has that natural instinct to make smart decisions. I mean, it's very, very true. And I come from this other world of social media, which is the yoga and wellness world, which is it's much more sensitive, I think, too. I think if you're, talking about fashion or beauty, it's more natural to promote things and to become more commercial. But yes, coming from yoga, very early on, I was like, okay, it's not going to work. I cannot teach this, sacred practice about making, peace with who you are and loving yourself. And then, hey, why don't you buy these yoga pants? It doesn't flow at all. So I decided really early, I'm not going to market anything on these platforms. It just doesn't work at all. And I was the only one in the online yoga community that made that decision. And for a while, I was really doubting it. Oh, I could be making money doing this. I could be improving this. I could be growing faster if I was collaborating with other people, but I never did. And now it's been, 5 or 6 years. And I think I'm one of the few people in the yoga world that actually has the ability to scale a brand, because there is more integrity there now. There is much more trust from the people that follow me. They know that it's not just a marketing platform, it's a place it's a community more. And I feel like I was really looking through your things this past week, knowing you were going to come here. And I feel like you've managed to keep that balance really beautifully.
Thank you.
It doesn't feel, because sometimes you can feel if you read a blog, like it's like fake marketing almost, like it's like, buy this because I make money off of it. But with you, it's very clear if it's an ad, and it also feels like it's something that you stand behind. It merges really well. How do you make those decisions? Because it must be a big part of the revenue for the blog. I mean,
it's a big revenue, of course, and it's a big part, and it's tough to say no to a company that will give you a lot of money, but it has the wrong kind of.
What do you say no to?
Like 90%, like everything. I'm very picky about the companies that I want to be seeing in the channels. It has to be something that I'm. I have to be like a customer by myself. It has to be natural.
Something that you actually would buy.
Yeah, yeah.
On your own.
So that's it. That's, you know, good rule. Can I be a customer? Would I buy this to my children? Would I eat this? Would I wear this? If not, no.
If not, no.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the same time, I have the sales company that, you know, they want to sell the products, to have the spots on my blog. So to say no, it's tough. And still we have, the blog has today like 7 employees.
So just for the blog itself?
Just the blog and the social media channels. There are two persons that, people that are translated to the English and to the German and soon to French and to Arabic. So of course, every time that I say no, I know, but maybe it comes today that nobody wants to have the post, and how can the company, you know, continue? So, but I always, I think positive, and if I say no to something now, something better will come up in the future. And I have a quite high
integrity. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about body.
Mm-hmm.
You had 2 kids.
Yeah.
And I know you've always been like kind of at the forefront of the body positive movement, which I think is so needed and so amazing, and also really rare in the because if you look at your blog from the outside, you live this perfect life. I mean, you do. I mean, you have this a lot of challenges and you share them, but you have a beautiful home, beautiful kids, beautiful companies. You're very successful. You're making lots of money. I can see from the outside people finding inspiration in all of these things. But there's also a big piece of that when it comes to responsibility for the people that are reading and following along. Mm-hmm. And for me, the way I chose to navigate that was to always tell the truth.
Yeah.
Like no matter what goes on, if it's super painful, if it sucks, if it's ugly, tell the truth.
Yeah.
And you've been amazing at sharing your own body insecurities or your own struggles with that since young. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
I was growing up a lot of time with my dad. So it wasn't that kind of like body focus. It wasn't makeup or buying clothes. I didn't enjoy that kind of. When my friends in school were comparing their bodies to each other when we were like 10, I didn't, because I was playing football with my dad or being more like a
tomboy. Yeah.
So I think that was quite a great start for the body, not care about the body. But the body is just great for playing football with. I have 2 legs. They're great.
Very smart.
And then in school, I wasn't the popular girl. I wasn't the pretty girl. I was I was by myself a lot. I was reading a lot. I didn't have any friends. But the point is that I was never with the girl.
In the girl gang.
No. Yeah,
maybe where those thoughts spread.
Yes, and when it began to be seeing all the body idol and how it should look and everything. So I was like, I missed that kind of time in my life. And I always, know my own value. And when my friends in later on in my life were comparing, my body's, I'm too fat, or my thighs are too big, or my acne, or I never cared so much. And in the same time, I had a lot of problem with my acne.
With your skin?
Yes, with my skin. So I was just, forced to deal with that. And I remember, because I had put on a lot of makeup under quite a few years. And then I was telling my blog readers when I was like 17, today I'm not going to do my makeup anymore. Today I'm going to go out with no makeup and see what's happening. So as you, I was always being very opening about my, like, this is tough for me, my acne is tough for me. But I remember that day when I was taking off my makeup and I was going to school the first day without, and I noticed that nobody cared.
That's a big thing. Yeah.
Nobody, you know, saw the pimples or were laughing or nothing. So
because they're all so busy worrying about their own stuff.
Exactly, exactly. So tend to forget from that, that point, I was like, okay, but if nobody care, I it's time for me to not care so much about the acne too. So that was like a big thing for me to realize that, like you said, people are more focused about themselves. So I always, like, you know, enjoyed my body. It doesn't depend on the weight or how I look. It's more, I see it more rational. Okay, there's a pimple, there's a stretch mark, there's a skin over. I don't care so much. But in the same time, today, when I live a very like stressful life with two kids, I've noticed how important it is to eat the right things to be more sustainable with yourself.
Because you've changed your diet a little bit recently.
I have. So, for example, I don't eat meat anymore. I try to eat more plant-based, less alcohol, to live more sustainable. And that, of course, it changed how my body look, but it doesn't... It wasn't for the like the body goal to change how to lost weight because of that. It was changing diet
to feel good.
To feel good. So that's the important thing. So
and do you think that this was a like a natural response for your body? Because sometimes I feel like when we're in challenging situations emotionally, if we lose these other parts, if we start eating like crap and we start treating our bodies like crap, then everything becomes almost unmanageable. You feel like it was almost like a response. Okay, it's tough over here. I'm going to take care of this.
It was because when I changed the diet 1 year ago, and that was when the relationship started to become like tough. So I found like one thing in my life that I can control and have sustainable. I do some yoga or meditation at home. I'm just the part
of... How did that start? That's interesting to me.
I started with the pregnancy yoga.
Mm-hmm. With your second pregnancy?
No, the first one. The first one. I didn't have time to enjoy that I was pregnant. So
you worked throughout... All pregnancies,
I did. So once in a week or twice every week, I could be on that pregnancy yoga and just enjoying the time in my life and focus on the philosophy.
The birth.
The birth.
The big upcoming thing. Birth, yes. The big thing.
So that was amazing and at that point I realized that yoga is a perfect time for me to, you know, to let go on all the work and all the issues in my life. So I'm not doing it so quite often today, but maybe once a week, and I'm doing it at home and maybe like an online or like a show in front of me, or just, you know, just a meditation. For me the breath is doing like to breathe before, like calm before I'm going to sleep, or first thing in the morning, or if the day is very stressful or intense, I can just go to my room, close the door, and breathe for 3 minutes. That's very like
it's a valuable tool.
Yes, and it's very important.
You can take it anywhere.
I can. So the breathe is more like important for me maybe than like the physical part right now. Mm-hmm. But in the future, I hope to find like more.
To move deeper into that. Yeah. What are your most important self-care practices? So this sounds like one, you know, brief meditation or breath work. Do you have some things that you never stray away from, no matter what?
I always have the three thoughts of thinking grateful before I go to sleep.
Oh, you do?
Every day, every night. So it's important for me to doing the breathing part, to think about the three things that I'm grateful for. And also when I'm taking a shower or I'm flying and I'm going through the clouds every time at that point.
On a plane.
On the plane, yeah. I always doing like the... having all like the great vision, or I having I
always, you visualize.
Yes, every time. So like every day, like 1 minute in the shower, but every time when I'm at the plane, I'm doing like the bigger, like the bigger goal in my life in my head.
Would you mind sharing what were your three most grateful things yesterday? Do you remember?
It was about my children, of course, with the after the divorcing part that I'm still, you know, that I'm gonna fix this, and I was grocery shopping with them, and they were quite they were tired after mm-hmm. daycare. And they were, you know, it was quite a tough. They were running around. They didn't want to stay with me, and I was alone. And I saw all the other couples helping each other. But I did it. I fixed it, and I.
You got all the groceries. You did.
Yes, I did. I fixed it. So I was quite grateful for, you know, taking this decision, and I know that I'm gonna succeed with this. So that was one thought. So I do a lot of mental work with myself, for like a visionary work every day.
I can tell. And every I think people day. Underestimate the power of that I'm somehow.
And it's important for me to, I read somewhere that we have like 60,000 thoughts every day. Yeah. And I'm very picky about where I put, which kind of thoughts that I am having. So if... people are like call a friend if a friend is calling me a day and she just want to gossip, I have to say no to that kind of 5 minute for gossip, because it's taking my thoughts from something else. And I want to have my thoughts or my more for the companies or for my children or for myself. So it sounds extreme, but I'm very picky about what I'm thinking about and what I'm putting my time on every day. It has to be something that are helping me forward.
I could imagine some if you would ever really step into the yoga practice, you know, more than once a week, or maybe find even more depth in the breath and meditation work. I could imagine that blowing this up for you. Yes,
that would be great,
because that's such a big piece of you know, being aware enough that you throughout the day realize, okay, I'm entering this difficult track now. It's taking me down this spiral of, because I'm sure you must have those thoughts too. I mean,
yes, of course,
you are like superwoman. My last podcast last week, I spoke about my own realization that I can't be superwoman. And listening to you talk about the kids now, I mean, they're older, so they're in daycare, and you know, she's almost 4 months old, but showering alone sometimes it's barely happens, and then is knocking on the door, okay, she's crying, and I'm like, God, can I just like poop on my own? Can I just be alone for 5 minutes?
Yeah, but this morning the children were, you know, sitting on the floor, and I was taking a shower in the morning, so I've noticed that I can do everything. I can put my makeup on, doing my hair, but they have to be in that room.
With you.
Yes, and they're having like a makeup brush, or they're holding something. They're like playing with it. So
they want to participate in what you're doing.
Yes. So now they know everything about my makeup routine.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that. What was the biggest thing? What changed you the most about motherhood? Do you feel like...
being more understanding for other people, don't see the world in like black and white. More, it changed me a lot. I was more cold, more, yes, you're seeing more the world more like you're, if you want to succeed, just do it. Today today I realized that life is tougher than that. It's not always, you know, having a goal and reach for it. Sometimes it's tough, and it's people are having different. They're coming from different ways in life with different förutsättningar.
Yeah, with different prerequisites. Yeah.
So I'm more. I'm not so. I don't judge people anymore. I was quite tough to other people before. Today I'm a different person in that way. I know that life can be very tough, and it's not so easy just, you know, having a goal and reach it. It's so much mentally, and you have I'm a better person. I am. It's a big difference.
I feel that too. I mean, already it's only been four months, but I can barely remember life before versus mm. life now. And one of the things that I feel the most is this appreciation for women.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can even, if I think back, I can see that there has been some judgment in me sometimes with how, you know, how women navigate the world. Or sometimes I was like, oh, you should just do it this way. Yeah, or my way is better than other people's way. And I'm realizing now, like, there is no right way to do this at all.
No.
Which is also why I'm so surprised that there's, I don't know if I'm, I don't think I'm alone in it, but the judgment in the mother community. Yeah. And I understand that at the core of it, I think it comes from this place of love. Like, I do this for my children. Yes. It works for me. So you should do it too. Mm. But I hate it. I mean, I really can't get over it. I keep getting these emails or questions or comments and it says, I don't want to judge, but your baby should not suck her thumb. No. I'm like, what's going to happen if she sucks her thumb? Like, I sucked my thumb. I lived. Like, I'm okay. You know, I still have it. It's okay.
I sucked my thumb till I was 12.
Okay. But and you made it. Okay.
I made it.
Even you're fine.
Yes.
But how do you deal with that judgment? Because I feel somehow, maybe because we're so sensitive about our kids, so I'm probably absorbing that judgment more than I would judgment about me, you know, if they say like, oh, your yoga shouldn't be that way, or your body, or you're this. I don't care so much.
I'm trying to be a good role model to never judge other women in my blog. I would never judge another woman, even if she is saying something that I doesn't agree with. The idea of always backing another woman is more important than having an opinion of her thought. So that is a big thing for me, that never complain or be like mean to another woman or another mother, because everything is so sensitive. And
it is harder for women. That's also something that I haven't really seen until now. I mean, before I had Lea Luna, I would just kind of take for granted all the women that work, that have kids, all the women that give birth every day. Yeah. Women just do this. No one ever asks a man, oh, you went back to work so quickly.
No,
shouldn't you be home nursing your baby? No one says that.
No.
And I think in my relationship, it's a little bit reversed. So I'm kind of the primary bringer of, you know, manifester in the family, so to speak. We all work with the Yoga Girl platforms, my husband too, and he's very comfortable with that. Since we met, he was like, I want to be a latte papa. Latte papa is like the dream. And then now we have the baby. He's like, latte papa is harder than I thought. Like, I need some help. And I'm like, oh God. But I mean, it is really, you get more judgment that way. If he was out working every day quickly after the baby was born, no one would say anything because it's common for the man to have that role.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a challenge for me right now to really embrace this whole new lifestyle.
It is. And this is a big question and an important question for me. Right now, the blog and all my channels are growing and expanding with other languages. And the message that I want to say is that, you know, the first one is that you can do both when you're a woman. You can still have your career, you can have your children, and you doesn't have to choose. But the other one is that always support other women. Always, always, always. And that's and you can't say that enough. And I think when I'm saying that and you're doing the same, I think that's, you know, the best way to make a difference. So yes, I hope people will continue that
and to
message.
Act on it.
To act on
because
it.
Because one thing is talking about it. And saying,
and when you see something in like a comment field, just, you know, say that. Don't do that, and never, you know, continue the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Do you address things when you get negative comments in the blog? Do you sometimes respond or
no?
Almost
no, never give them that.
It fuels the fire.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's hard to do though.
It is really hard. It sounds
to do.
Very easy, but
just don't answer. No,
no, no, but. Don't do that.
No. And I was okay. I'm meditating on this a lot right now. So if someone shares something negative before the baby, I would never respond. Mm. Like, I wouldn't even look at it. I'd be like, oh, okay, keep scrolling. But now those things, it sticks with me. And then I'm wondering, okay, is it because there's something triggering me in what this person says? Has to mean that there's a little bit of truth in it, or that there's a little bit of fear behind it. So if they say, oh, don't let her suck her thumb. And I'm like, what? Why would you say this? Let me raise my baby. And then I realize, wait, I'm actually maybe scared that if she sucks her thumb, something bad is going to happen. Because I'm new at this. I don't know. Is every decision I make going to mess up her life? Like, being a parent is not so easy.
No, it's not so easy. It is.
And a lot of responsibility for this tiny being for the rest of your life. You know, it's... No, I wish the climate was a little softer around this, but I'm going to work harder to focus on the...
And we can change it.
Yes.
We can.
I really, really hope so.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
I went for many years without wearing a bra. When I decided to try them out again, I instantly remembered just how uncomfortable they can be and why so many women say the best part of the day is coming home taking off their bra. Then I found Third Love. Third Love uses women's real measurements and super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit better and that are way more comfortable. They offer sizes from AA to G, as well as exclusive half cup sizes. I stopped wearing bras for a few reasons, one being how aware I was that I was wearing something uncomfortable all day long. But these Third Love bras are so comfortable that sometimes I even forget I'm wearing one, which is exactly how it should be. Third Love knows you'll love your new bra, so they're offering From the Heart listeners a chance to try one of their perfect 24/7 bras for free for 30 days. All you have to do is answer a few simple questions online, and the Third Love experts will recommend the perfect bra just for you. If the bra you receive is not your new favorite, you can easily return or exchange it for free. Simply fill out a few questions, pay just $2.99 for shipping, and receive the greatest bra you'll ever wear. It's time to put fit first with Third Love. Go to thirdlove.com/heart now to get your perfect Third Love bra and try it for 30 days. That's thirdlove.com/heart to try your new favorite bra for free. thirdlove.com/heart. What do you, because you have a boy and a girl, Yilis and Sally, do you raise them the same?
I do. I want them to be as the Swedish character Bamse. And he's very strong and also very kind to other people. So I want them to be...
Bamse is a storybook character or a paper, what do you call it? Magazine character.
Yeah,
he's a bear and he eats honey and he becomes super strong.
Exactly. So, and he's very strong and... And I want them to be strong within, to always feel comfortable, to, if they have anything that they want to do, just do it. And I will always support that. They don't have to have companies and be successful. They can just do whatever they want. But always be, you know, like very have a great self-esteem. But always also be kind to others. That's very important for me. When they see a person on the street, I want
begging or homeless.
Yes, always help. They always get some Swedish money to give them. It's very important for me to make them understand that they are having like a great standard, and other people doesn't have that. So we have to help other persons.
Because you didn't grow up the way that you're raising your children.
No, and I was so frustrated because they were laying down at the floor a day, and they were putting on. Blanket, and I was wondering, oh, Yilis and Sally, what are you doing? You're lying on the floor with the blanket on, and they were saying, yes, mother, we're flying.
Oh God!
And I was like, okay, you're flying and you're lying in the bed, because they're used to fly business. And
they don't know the reality for most of the people. You don't get to lie down.
No. And from that point, I was like, okay, I have to have. This thing in my when they're growing up, so they can, because they're gonna be terrible people another way.
They need to work.
They have to work. Uh-huh. So that's like one of my struggles. How can I raise them so they are like Bamse, strong, independent, having greatest self-esteem, but kindness is very important.
Very, very important. And I think that's a challenge. I was having this discussion with my mom actually yesterday, because we are also, me and Dennis live a lifestyle now that is different than the way I was raised. And one of the biggest differences is, and this is very common in Central and South America, is that you have a maid or you have someone who helps out around the house. It's really common to have someone living with you. And especially when you have a child, it's really common that you leave your baby with a maid. So most of Dennis's friends, they were raised kind of speaking really amazing Spanish because they had a South American maid that raised them while the parents were at work. And that's not something that I would, you know, I don't want to have a nanny for her until I absolutely have to. Like, I don't want anybody aside from family with them for as long as possible. But one thing is, like, we don't do our own laundry at home.
No.
And I always did my own laundry when I grew up. And then my mom said yesterday, she says, is Lea Luna going to grow up and not know how to fylla på diskmaskinen, like how to put stuff in the dishwasher. Is she not going to know that because you live this lifestyle? And I thought, wow, that's going to be so hard because we don't do that. And kids do what they see and what, you know, they act as we act. Mm. So I think it means that we're going to have to scale back a little bit on the on the support that this gives us and kind of go back to, yeah, doing our own laundry more so she can learn too.
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing. Mm. How about when you travel with the kids? Mm. Where have they been?
They have been following me every time that I'm working. Yes, they have been like being on my arm from when they were born. So like in a minute.
They've been to lots of countries.
Lots of countries.
How young were they when you started traveling with them?
They were 8 weeks.
That young? Wow. Yes, and where did you fly?
I think it was to Milan because I was visiting a factory. They were producing our mascara. So yes, they have been with me and I was been flying to Miami with them, to Thailand, and to everywhere. They're quite used to, be with me. And people were very upset when they were traveling so young.
Yes, that's why I'm asking, because they already received some judgment and she's only been on one plane.
Yeah, but I was breastfeeding until they were 6 months and it was very easy to travel while I was breastfeeding. It was harder between 6 months and when they were starting to walk, because they were so frustrated and they wanted to walk with my, holding my hands or
They need more entertainment, more engagement.
And now it's easier again because now he's three and he can, have an iPad and he can see a movie or playing on an iPad. So it's easier right now. But now I'm going to fly with them by myself to, two kids going to Spain.
Are you nervous about that?
No. Of course, yes, it's gonna be crazy. I'm going to be so sweaty. Things are going to be, hard. But I have to, I have to do it.
There's no other option.
No, exactly.
Would you stay home then for the rest of your life?
No. And it's going to be hard for the first time. But then they would learn and I would learn. So I'm quite tough in that way. I remember that because it's only 17 months between them. And I was taking them to different places or to my office, both when they were very young. Just sitting in a car for 2 hours with two young children can be tough. But I always, just tried. And sometimes they were, a couple of times that they were being like screaming for 20 minutes and I was, stuck in traffic and can't stop or in a highway.
Oh,
or
God.
But at least they're like, they had their...
They have their personalities. They have their...
They were like...
Oh, they were strapped in. Yeah. So they couldn't move.
No, they couldn't move. So nothing could happen. So...
Wow, people underestimate this. This is the thing, what goes on behind the scenes of this type of life. Because I think from the outside, it can look like, oh, what a dream, and traveling everywhere and bringing your kids. And it's really hard.
I remember when I was flying with Sally to Miami and she was, she vomit all the time because she was so small. Oh, and
she was spitting up a lot.
Yes, all the time. And we didn't, all the clothes were already
full of spit up. Yeah.
Yep. So we didn't have any more to change to. So we were sitting there for from Newark to Miami with we were smelling and people were it was terrible. And then she pooped and the diaper was, I didn't have anything to change with. And it was really terrible. But it just,
You have smile to go with it.
Yeah. And you realize that it's not so much bad things more that can happen. Mm. This is the worst. I'm sitting in with her poo in my vomit or in her vomit and people are looking at us.
Can't
but
get worse
no, it,
than
it can't
this.
Get That's worse. So we're living and we're happy. We're
I feel like at least if me now when I travel, if I meet a mom with kids or a family traveling with kids, I feel compassion. Oh, I know what this is like. Versus before pre-kids, maybe okay, we've been on this plane for 7 hours. Is that baby going to stop crying ever? It's not hard for the rest of the passengers. It's hard for the parents. It's unimaginable.
And I've been, staying in the kitchen in the airplane, having my son in my arms for maybe 3 hours, and he was being, you know, screaming all the time. So I've done all the kind of,
all
you
the
know,
hard stuff. Yeah, that was so. Us flying here, because everybody told me, oh, when she's this little, it's going to be so easy. Just wait till she's running. That's hard. So mm-hmm. I had this different idea in my head. I thought, okay, it's a nighttime flight. She normally sleeps very well at night. She's going to sleep in the little bassinet that they give you. We're going to get to Amsterdam. She's going to be right on time. Jet lag, no jet lag. She spent 3 minutes in the bassinet and she screamed for 10 hours. It was like a 10-hour flight. And I was by the cockpit. And then even one of the stewardesses, she felt so bad. She said, you know, we have this where you can close where the stewardesses get to sleep. Would you like to sit down here and just close it? And I was like, oh my God, thank you. It was just like her kindness in that moment. I was just crying.
Yes,
like, oh,
I have done that too. Just crying and be thankful. Yes,
for something. So if you were to look back at yourself, you know, this 14-year-old girl before all of this, you know, maybe you weren't able to envision all of the success that you have now and the beauty in your life that you have now. And I think more than anything, the resilience that you have, the ability to overcome difficult things. What would you tell her? Because I know we have a lot of people listening now that might be lots of young girls and people that might be in that moment right now, whether or not it's being bullied or being depressed or going through a divorce or, you know, moving through something difficult. What would you tell yourself in the middle of that time, that young?
That the most important thing is the relationship to yourself, to always rely on you, that you can go through everything, all these tough things in life, but the relationship to yourself, that's the only thing you need. Of course, it's fantastic to have a great family and support from your friends or maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend. But the relationship, that being your own best friend, that was my like a mantra. That I can be alone, everything can be tough, but I know I'm gonna get through this because I'm my best friend.
And what if you don't have that ability though? So for some people, I know that self-judgment or the self-hate can be very strong.
Yeah.
If you have that voice in the back of your head that says, oh, you're too fat, or you're not smart enough, or you're not successful enough, you're not good enough.
Mm. You,
how do you become your own best friend?
Yes, but you have to know that if you're laying like 2 hours every day of complaining about yourself, you're taking 2 hours from something else, or you're taking like 30,000 thoughts of that to something else. So you have to know that it's going to affect you for the long term too. So you have to be try to be more rational and think, okay, what can I do for this quiet time or those thoughts? Can I read books? Can I be inspired? Can I exercise? Can I do something that makes me more happy? And try to be tough on yourself when those bad thoughts are coming. You know, put them away. You know, I'm better than this. It takes too much of the value and time for me. I'm gonna do something else with that time. So see as like picture that you have like 100%, and choose how much. Like, is it 10% you're gonna complain about yourself, or is it 80%? So it has to be a very small percent. And when those thoughts are coming, you know, take them away. If you're standing in the mirror and you think you look too fat, or take some other clothes, buy a bigger size, you know, do something that would, you know, make it easier, and not focus on the bad things on you.
Or go where the happiness is.
Exactly.
That's always my go-to. So if my mind becomes this, you know, spinning, if it's okay, I know 5 minutes on my yoga mat moving gets me out of my head and into my body, or spending time with a dog, or doing something, just put a smile on your face to snap out of it.
And it's always a choice. You can't. It sounds tough when I'm saying that, but it is a choice. You can, when the bad thoughts are coming, you can take them away if you want, but you have to exercise on that.
It's a practice.
It's a practice. Yes.
You have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? I know you have a really exciting online show, series coming out. So the Quest for Success.
The Quest for Success. In September, we're launching a new type of online series. It's not the classic YouTube one. I'm going to meet people that I have been looking up to during my years and talk about the sacrifice that they're doing for reach your goal. My sacrifices has been maybe some relationships with friends, and because I'm always focused very much on the companies too. So when you see a successful person, it's always things, sacrifices behind that you don't see. So this is a way for me to talk about that and also inspiring. That of course, yes, it's tough, but maybe it's worth it. But you have to know that you cannot be successful without taking away something else in your life.
The sacrifices that are made behind the scenes.
Yes, and it's always sacrificing things, always.
Yes, I think that's fascinating because it looks easy sometimes from the outside. Sometimes people might look at you and say, oh, anybody could do that. Not so easy.
No.
That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me here.
A big thank you to my guest, Isabella Löwengrip, for joining me on the show this week. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to listen to and subscribe to other great episodes of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. You can find all of these on rachelbraithen.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. And of course, don't forget to leave a review while you're there. Huge thanks to the folks at Digital Media for their production work. And of course, thanks to my sponsors, Texture, Third Love, and TransferWise. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.